السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا وطبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبد الله ورسوله. Respected ulama, respected elders, brothers in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are going to be having a discussion regarding the biography of a very eminent sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi is eminent. So this sahabi, many of us may have not heard of this particular sahabi and some of his virtues. So it's basically a lesson, a dars, more than a bayan. And this sahabi, his name is Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the leaders of the Banu Qaynuqa tribe of Medina Munawwara. It was called Yathrib at that time. He was the rabbi of Madinatul Munawwara, one of the most distinguished persons from the Yahud in Madinatul Munawwara. Now, in the Torah, it was mentioned quite clearly regarding the Akhirun Nabi, or the final Nabi, that he will come in a place which has been described as Al-Yathrib, place like Madina Munawwara, a place between two mountains, a place of date palms, a place of date palms. So Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, being a very learned person, very well versed to the Torah, he had been researching this, and many of the Jewish tribes of the time, they had migrated to Madina Munawwara. It wasn't called Madina Munawwara, it was Al-Yathrib. And the reason for this is to await the final Nabi. And they had this aspiration, and they believed that the final Nabi will be obviously from the Bani Israel, from within them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it otherwise, that the final Nabi, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be from the Banu Ismail, from the children of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So as they had migrated towards Yathrib, there were three predominant tribes among them: the Banu Qaynuqa, the Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qurayza. So these were the three dominant tribes, among many other smaller tribes scattered around this whole area. Abdullah bin Salam, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was also in anticipation of the final Nabi. And when news reached him in Madina Munawwara that the man has claimed Nubuwwah, he has claimed to be the seal of the prophets, and he is in Makkah Mukarrama. So Abdullah bin Salam tried to gather as much information as possible regarding this man and the authenticity of this man. And one thing that struck out was that he was not from the Banu Israel, he was from the Banu Ismail. Nonetheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made hijrah at the age of 53 from Makkah Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this journey was approximately 400 kilometers, took a period of 10 days, and they reached Quba. And Quba was the first place in our deen that Jumu'ah was performed. The first place that Jumu'ah was performed was Masjid-e-Quba, where now is Masjid-e-Quba. So one of the virtues of this Masjid Quba, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed that first Jumu'ah, is that on a Saturday, those of us who go for Umrah, etc., we should try to go to Masjid Quba. There's many virtues of going to Masjid Quba on a Saturday morning. It was a habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to walk to Quba on a Saturday morning and there offer two rakats of salah in Masjid Quba. Alhamdulillah, if young people can take a walk, it wouldn't take more than 20, 25 minutes to take a walk. And obviously those of us who can't walk, take a taxi to Masjid Quba, at least on a Saturday morning when we visit Madina Munawwara. Nonetheless, As he reached Quba, news reached Medina Munawwara. It's a short distance, a short that Nabi Kareem Sassam has arrived in Medina Munawwara, in Quba. So Abdullah bin Salam, prior when news reached him of the arrival of the Prophet Sassam, he was climbing onto his date palms in his orchard. He was a person who owned date palms, and he was climbing high up on the date palms, scanning for the arrival of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when a caller announced, in those days callers used to announce, a caller announced that he has arrived. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his name wasn't actually Abdullah. His name was Al-Husayn, Husayn bin Salam. Husayn with a sod, not Husayn with a seen, not Husayn, Husayn. There's nothing wrong with this name either. And there were other sahaba who had this name as well, Husayn with a sod. So as he was scanning and he heard the caller announce that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has arrived, so he came down so quickly, with such speed he came down the palms, and such excitement he showed and enthusiasm he showed, that his aunt Khalida binti Harith, she became radiyallahu ta'ala anha later, she exclaimed to him that, "What is exciting you so much?" And he made the takbir. He said, "Allahu Akbar." He wasn't a Muslim at that time. He said, "Allahu Akbar." And she said, "But even if Musa had to come, you wouldn't have been so excited as you are excited on the arrival of this man Muhammad from the Arabs. What, it got nothing to do with you really. It affects the Arabs of Medina Munawwara, the Arab tribes, but what it has got to do with you? You're a Jewish person. If Musa had to come, you wouldn't have been as excited as you are so excited now on the arrival of this man Muhammad." And he explained to her who it is. And he hastens to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he reaches Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's a crowd obviously gathered around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it comes in one riwayat that he tiptoed, trying to get a glimpse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a man who was already 73 years of age, 20 years senior to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at this age. So he's trying to tiptoe to get a glimpse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said that he moved the shoulders of men to get nearer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his first gaze on the countenance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that this is not the face of a liar. He's not the face of a kadhab. This is the face of a man of truth. When he saw the first time the Mubarak countenance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to cut the long story short, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him as well. He was a distinguished person. He was also from the progeny of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasallam. So we can understand what beauty he may have possessed also. He was a very handsome man, Abdullah bin Salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him near. And he asked the Prophet ﷺ certain questions also. Three questions in particular he asked of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ answered these questions correctly as well. He was testing the Prophet ﷺ to be absolutely certain that this is the man. This is the person. Thereafter, he heard the inaugural speech of the Prophet ﷺ. The inaugural speech when he reached Medina Munawwara is a very famous hadith. That how often we have heard this hadith, perhaps in the Jummah Salah, in the Jummah Khutbah as well. That, "Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam baynakum. O people, spread salam among yourselves." Salam here has different meanings. One is greeting, one is the greeting salam. One is peace, spread goodwill, peace among people. Create peace among people, unity among people. We know that the tribes of Medina Munawwara, they were at loggerheads. The Aus and the Khazraj, these are the two predominant tribes of Medina Munawwara, always at loggerheads, always rivals to each other, and pre-Islam, and sometimes so much so that if one's animal had to graze in the other tribe's land, they'll go to war for up to 4 decades. They'll go to war for something so mundane and trivial as that. So his first ways is spread the peace among people. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Feed, feed. Not feed the poor only, feed the rich, feed people. It's not only restricted to people. Feed animals. Feed the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether rich or poor. Whatever ethnicity, language, culture, religion, feed. To feed people is a very noble act, a very noble gesture. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he could never eat alone. He always needed a guest, he always needed company to eat. And he would go out looking for somebody just to sit with him and eat. That was Ibrahim Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, feed. وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامُ, join family ties. Joined the bonds of kinship, blood relationship. And the Quran Sharif extols us and advises us and commands us to maintain the bonds of kinship. And this is something very, very necessary in this day and age especially, when we know that the bonds of kinship are broken for so many different reasons. When business partnerships fail, when inheritance is usurped, when marriages break, etc., then we know the bonds of kinship are so easily broken and we fail to maintain them. What Allah has ordained us and commanded us to maintain, family relationship, blood relationship. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ, that makes salah at that time when people are sleeping, when mankind is sleeping, in the early hours of the morning, at the time of Salatul Layl, at the time of Salatul Tahajjud, make salah at that time, when humanity at large is asleep, and it's silent, and it's still, and it's quiet, and it's serene, and it's tranquil. And in the other ahadith we hear, or we learn, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends at this time of the morning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaims, that is there anybody who has any needs that I may fulfill? Is there anybody who needs rizq that I may give him rizq? Allah is making these offers. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, he explained the time of tahajjud. If a person makes dua at the time of tahajjud, it's like an arrow which doesn't miss its target. That dua is like an arrow which does not miss its target. It's easily acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is getting up from his sleep, sacrificing his sleep, sacrificing his comfort, and he's in communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, when hardly anybody can see him at that time, it's between him and Allah, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ, hardly anyone knows of a person's secret worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many of us, we have so many needs, so many people have such dire needs, especially at this time of economic difficulty, post-COVID, post-looting, so much of difficulty. Here is a recipe for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ruju ila Allah, return to Allah, inabat ila Allah. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will accept our du'as at that time. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do these four things, this is his inaugural speech in Madinah Munawwara. He says, تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. There are variations, but you will enter into Jannah with ease, with comfort. You'll enter Jannah quite easily. So this is, when a president normally is appointed, a leader is appointed, we want to hear his inaugural speech. Why? The inaugural speech of the president, or the prime minister, or the new government, it sets the tone for what is to come ahead. It sets the tone. So look at the tone that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set in his inaugural speech. What beautiful advices. What concise advices. What practical advices. Let's just do these four things here. تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. Coming back to this Sahabi. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him. He accepted Iman at the hands of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that I bear witness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness in you as the Rasul of Allah, the Messenger of Allah. And he became a Muslim, the chief rabbi of Madinatul Munawwara. Among the Yahud, there were approximately 30 of them who accepted Deenul Islam among the Yahud. He was perhaps the most distinguished of them all. So the Prophet asked him that, what is your name? And he said, Al-Husayn, Husayn bin Salam. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, you are Abdullah. You are Abdullah. Changed his name. Or gave him another name. And he says, there was no name more beloved to me than the name that the Nabi of Allah gave me. Abdullah. Though the commentators, they discuss this issue that there was nothing wrong with the name Husayn. But why did the Prophet ﷺ give him this name Abdullah? So they explain that it was more befitting of a person of his stature and caliber to have the name Abdullah. And Abdullah and Abdul Rahman are the two most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many ahadith we come across this. The most beloved names to Allah is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So he assumed the name Abdullah and he became Abdullah bin Salam. Then he explained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, you do not know my people. The nature of my people, the Jews, the Yahud. And we learned from the Quran Sharif also that regarding two people, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. That definitely you will find that there are two kinds of people, أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ, who have enmity for you, for the Muslims. Who are these two people? One is the Yahud, and وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, and one is those who make shirk against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the polytheists. Even in the world today, then Allah further says that you will find those people who are more softer in their approach to you, who are more sympathetic in their approach to you, are those who are Christians. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ. Then you'll find those people who are more sympathetic towards you are those who are Christians. Generally, Christians are softer by nature. Not that they haven't perpetrated oppression against Muslims, but generally their attitude is softer. And today, if we look throughout the world, the greatest oppression perpetrated against the Muslims are between these two groups. The Jews, the Yahud, and the Mushrikeen. And they have so many similarities between them. And it's a burning issue in the Muslim Ummah that our third holiest site, precinct in Islam, that Mubarak land of Masjid al-Aqsa, is in their control. A Muslim lady, elderly Muslim lady, just got back from Aqsa. And she mentioned to me yesterday, she says, I went to Aqsa. And as I'm entering the Haram Sharif, the Jewish soldier, males, is asking me, are you Muslim? Are you Muslim? She's dressed in complete Islamic garb. Are you Muslim? She said, what do you think I am? What do you think I am if I'm not a Muslim? They are in control of the third holiest site of our deen. That land of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. That land from where the Mi'raj took place. That land where all the Anbiya alayhim as-salam gathered. That land is within their dominion and control. From the time we born, this land is under their control. There was a very famous person in Durban. Many of us may be aware of him also. The late Yaqub Patel, rahmatullah alayh. Maths teacher. Very famous teacher. I'm sure he taught many people here maths, including myself. So he says, Mawlana, it's my burning desire in my life to see that Masjid al-Aqsa is liberated. It's my one tamanna in life to see that this masjid is liberated from the Yahud. And if I don't see it in my lifetime, he says, when it happens, you come to my qabr and you come and tell me it happened now. You come to my grave and tell me that today we made it, we liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. How many of us have that burning desire for the liberation of this masjid, of this muqaddas land, 30 odd acres of this Mubarak land? It's not the bricks and mortar that's blessed, it's the land that's blessed, the land of Aqsa. So how many of us take out that time every day that we make dua for the liberation of this masjid, for the liberation of this land, for the liberation of the Muslims who live there, who are part of the heritage of that land? This is a benchmark and a yardstick into our feeling for this place, for this Mubarak place. We should try to go there, aspire to go there as much as we can, to populate that masjid, to keep it abad, and to keep our presence felt there. So then we see, on the other hand, the Indians, the Indian government, this mushrikeen. And we see the Chinese government, mushrikeen. These are mushriks. Look at the injustice that is being perpetrated against them. In India, the Muslims have never been worse than what they are today. They are on the receiving end. Look at the injustice that is being perpetrated by the current government, the BJP government, and their policies. It's so similar to Israel. They work hand in hand. They train the Indian army. The Israeli army trains the Indian military. How to wage oppression against Muslims? Look at the land of Kashmir. From 1947 to today, the land of Palestine, 1947 till today, it's under occupation, the land of Kashmir. What zulm is being perpetrated? How many thousands of Muslim women have been raped in Kashmir? Do we even bat an eyelid? Does it even prick a conscience within us that such zulm is taking place throughout the world? Again, by these two people, and then we go to look at the Uyghur Muslims in China. What is happening in China? The destruction of a people, the Uyghur Muslims, millions of Muslims in China, organized oppression by the government against these innocent Muslims who are doing nothing against their government. They're just citizens of that place. They're under occupation. Turkmenistan. And are we even aware of all the zulm that's taking place? But we'll find predominantly the most oppressive of the people who have the most hatred and enmity against us are these people, the Yahud and the Mushrikun. So we must make dua. We need to continuously make dua for the liberation of these lands, for the liberation of our people. We are one ummah. We are one body. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this ummah is like one body. It's like one body. If one part of this body is in distress, the whole body feels the distress. إِنْ إِشْتَكَى عَيْنُهُ إِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ وَإِنْ إِشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ إِشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. That if one part, if the head is in distress, is paining, the whole body is feeling that distress. If the eye is in some distress, the whole body is in that distress. So let us, firstly, we need to conscientize ourselves of what is happening. We need to educate ourselves. We need to educate our families. We need to educate our children. Make them aware of what is happening. Some of us are oblivious. We're indifferent to what is happening. Will we not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah for this indifference of ours? So let us help. The least we can do is we can make dua. Dua doesn't cost us anything. Dua is mukhul ibadah. It's the essence of worship, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Coming back to Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now it's very interesting that Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his free time, we are speaking of the time when he was a rabbi. At that time, he used to divide his day into three parts. Daily, he had a routine. We talk of time management. This man had time management. His day was divided into three parts. One part of the day to earn a living. He'll tend to his orchards, to his agricultural business, one third of his time during the day. One third of the day was his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one third of the day, as a Jewish rabbi. And the third part of the day, he used to spend studying the Torah, studying the scriptures. So if you look at time management, there are lessons to be learned from the life of the Sahabi, pre-Islam also. And this Sahabi, Abdullah bin Salam, radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was the first person in Madinah Munawwara to have received the glad tidings of Jannah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a person from the Ahlul Jannah. We know the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 famous companions, many of us are aware of it. And it's a good test we can do at home when we go back after Jummah today, that we test our children. That my son, my daughter, who are the Ashara Mubashara? It's a good benchmark. It's a good acid test of what they know of our deen also. So those are the famous 10 companions. But there are many other companions who also received the glad tidings of Jannah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And among them, the first person in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara was Abdullah bin Salam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. How fortunate, how naseebdar, he's from the people of Jannah. So with these few words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the love of all the Sahaba ikram. Let us know who the Sahaba ikram are. There's so many other facts about Abdullah bin Salam, but this is just a brief introduction so that we on our own embark on studying the Sahaba ikram. And one of the best kitabs we can use if you want to know the Sahaba, Hayatul Sahaba. Written by Maulana Yusuf Kandalvi Rahmatullah Ali. Hayatul Sahaba. It's in 3 volumes in good English also. If we just daily take out some time as families, just some family time, and we spend a few minutes, 3-4 minutes, let us not go beyond that, so that nobody becomes bored. Let us spend a few minutes reading the lives of Sahaba Ikram, and how many lessons we learn from there. How much of Noor and Barakah will descend on our hearts and within the home as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give each and every one a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.